This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Mark Gallagher, CEO of Performance Insights, and Mark has held leadership roles in Formula One for over 30 years. Good morning, Mark, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Really a great pleasure to be joining you.
Now, Mark, F1 has new owners now. Liberty Media bought over the rights back in early 2017 for an enterprise value of $8 billion. In your view, how has F1 fared in this post-Bernie Eccleston era?
Well, it's been a very exciting kind of 18 months or so since Liberty took over. I think they've carried out a number of major initiatives to make the weekend format of the races more entertaining for the fans attending the races. But I think probably the single biggest thing that Liberty have really done has been to open the sport up to new fans by embracing social media and by embracing things like online gaming, which would have been kind of areas of activity that Bernie Eccleston wouldn't really have gone into before. And I think, although the social media and online gaming might seem like a kind of weird thing for Formula One to be really making big progress in, of course, for the younger audiences, this is where we have to be. And so we've driven some been really amazing progress made over the last 18 months in attracting new audiences and launching Formula One eSports World Championship, where you can compete in Formula One using your Xbox or your PlayStation or your PC on the gaming console, and you know, compete for the World Championship of the online version of Formula One, and that's had a huge response. So I think Liberty are kind of dragging the sport finally into the 21st century and making it relevant to younger audiences.
But broadly speaking, though, is that enough to perhaps mitigate the broader decline when it comes to F1's popularity? So, for example, TV viewership has declined by over 40% over the past 10 years. You've got numbers that are down in the UK, Brazil, Italy, and these three countries are seen to be traditional strongholds for core F1 supporters. So, you know, all these ventures into social media, esports, is that enough to buck the broader trend?
So it's really great that you mentioned those points, because one of the things that happened during the early 2000s was a shift from Formula One away from free-to-air television onto pay-per-view platforms. And the reason for that simply was that Formula One under Bernie Eccleston was trying to generate, you know, the biggest revenues it could from the business around the world, and the pay-TV companies were prepared to pay a great deal of money. You mentioned the UK, for example. I happen to live in the UK, although I'm from Ireland, but I live in the UK. And, you know, the move on to the Sky platform in the UK reduced the audience by 90%. I mean, we're talking about a 90% reduction in the number of people who watch Sky compared to who used to watch it live when it was on BBC, you know, back in the 1990s. So what you're seeing is a kind of weird thing where these pay-per-view companies are prepared to pay a huge amount of money to have it, but the numbers of subscribers are very, very low. So really where we are now is, under Liberty, they are now taking a kind of an approach to the TV coverage, which is, I think, you know, it's still early days, but if I can explain it to you, essentially the pay-per-view offering will continue to play an important part. And in certain markets, they're actually stuck with the deals that Bernie Eccleston did towards the end of his tenure as chief executive. But what they're also doing is they're adding free-to-air, either for highlights or also for some live races. So they're doing that, for example, in France this year. So France hasn't had free-to-air television for Formula One for some years, and they've reversed that. And then the final one, and it's one which I personally think is a very exciting way forward, is they're introducing a streaming version of Formula One where you can watch every race and every practice session online on any device. And it's also not geo-blocked. So traditionally, with pay-per-view television, etc., you know, the moment you leave the country, you can't watch that content from back home on your laptop when you're traveling, if you're on vacation or if you're traveling on business. So things like that are going to make quite a big shift. And I think You know, the streaming service is a subscription service, but it will be a low-cost service. And I think the combination of those three strategies, free-to-air, pay-per-view, and online streaming, that's going to help the audiences to rebound. And it's a big focus for Liberty. They are a media company, and exactly as you say, they want to reverse the trend of the last decade, really.
I understand these moves on the part of Liberty, you know, them trying to make sure that the sport is as accessible on as many platforms as possible. But is that just preaching to the choir, so to speak, you know, because fundamentally, yeah, sure. How does the F1 sport in its essence compete against the UFCs, for example, or good old football, right? There's so many other forms of sports entertainment that are competing for eyeballs right now. So how does F1 stack up against all these other competing interests?
So, you know, competing for eyeballs, this is what it's all about, isn't it? And, I mean, you mentioned UFC. I come from Ireland, as I said earlier, and we've had a couple of pretty well-known UFC competitors in recent times. So, you know, we're all very aware of the fact that consumers have choice, sports fans have choice of any sport they want to watch. I think the difficulty for Formula One is that the results of the races had become predictable. The sport was being dominated by, you know, one or two teams. I mean, here in Malaysia, we well remember that after Formula One came to Malaysia, I think the first year, you know, it was a McLaren team. But then for the next 5 or 6 years, Michael Schumacher and Ferrari, they dominated. Then Red Bull dominated. Then in recent years, Mercedes dominated. Sports fans don't really like watching sport which is predictable. They like to see upsets. They like to see they like to see uncertainty in terms of the outcomes. And that's something that Liberty are now doing, something that really Bernie Eccleston never managed to succeed at, which is they're engaging with the sports governing body to rewrite the rules, both the technical rules, so that's the way that cars are actually designed and manufactured, but also the sporting rules, so that's the way the race weekends are going to be run. And I think we're going to see some pretty big changes in the way the Formula One race weekend is run. And the reason for doing that is to try and make it a greater spectacle in terms of different outcomes and give smaller teams a chance to be competitive. And the final thing I'll say to you is this, on this particular point, you know, I started by mentioning the inroads that they've made in social media, and then we started talking about television. The two are completely linked, because what Liberty really see is that when you use social media to engage with a much larger audience, so in other words, not the diehard fans, but actually just the general sports fan. And if you use social media in the right way and you start educating people about the fact that actually the racing has been exciting, or there has been there's been a big accident at the start, or there's been a really dramatic moment, people then actually go and look for it. And they may not watch the whole race, but they may go and look at the highlights, or they may look at a clip. And that's what Liberty are really trying to use social media. The term they use is, you know, a barker. It's like a barking dog. I mean, they're basically using it as a barker to shout at people and say, hey, look, there's some good things here in Formula One worth watching. And, you know, if you want to watch it, there are different platforms that you can enjoy it on. And if you don't want to watch it on television, but you want to engage with Formula One on the online gaming platforms, you know, you can do that as well. So they're looking at really a multifaceted approach. But Liberty are the first people to understand that, you know, the sport needs to press a reset button to re-engage with fans and get the excitement back.
Yeah, and I certainly don't envy them, because you have to manage so many different stakeholders, right? So from the fans' perspective, on one hand, trying to attract new fans while still playing to its heritage, right? Maintaining that appeal to purists. Then for the teams themselves as well, I mean, you've got Ferrari, who recently threatened to quit the sport due to some of these proposed changes as well. I know there's plenty of discussion there. You know, can we imagine a Formula One without Ferrari at the expense of trying to attract new entrants who are not proven, don't have that legacy, right? So how would Liberty, in your opinion, find that balance there?
So, again, on the Ferrari, let's talk about the Ferrari question. So I don't want to be unkind to Ferrari. I've worked in Formula One 35 years, and it's always tended to be Ferrari's strategy that if they don't like something, they threaten to quit the sport. So it's not new. It's not the first time. And the good news is, and it is really good news, the really good news is that the threat that they put into Formula One at the beginning of this year, when they didn't like some of the things they were hearing, that threat has now gone away. There's been a big shift in Ferrari's position over recent months. They've actually agreed terms, I understand, with Liberty going forward. And there's a good reason for it. Ferrari has built their brand as a car company around the world through Formula One. They don't advertise. I mean, Ferrari doesn't advertise as a car manufacturer. They use Formula One as their global marketing. So they're kind of, it's a hand-in-glove relationship there. So Liberty listened to Ferrari's concerns, and they're going to keep them on board, and that's really good news. But I think the interesting thing is that, you know, there are lots of stakeholders involved, but actually everyone is in complete agreement about the fact that to make a sport exciting, you need to have different outcomes. You need to have a sense of risk. You know, Formula One does have a lot of risk involved in it. I think because the teams manage the risks so well, I'm talking about accidents and safety and things like that. Some of the things that we know that fans enjoy is the wrong word, because no fan wants to see anybody injured. But the reality is, if you look at MotoGP, if you look at other forms of motorsport, there's a sense of risk and jeopardy in those that maybe Formula One had become too good at managing. So one of the things that Liberty are really thinking about is, you know, how can we mix things up? You know, how can we create the kind of race, actually, that we just had in the United States Grand Prix was unbelievable. We ended up with three cars separated by 1.5 seconds for the last 10 laps of the race, and any one of them looked like they could win. And Lewis Hamilton didn't win. The Mercedes team didn't win. So it was won by Kimi Räikkönen in the Ferrari. So, you know, Liberty are looking at a race like that, and they're saying, okay, so that was an exciting race. What happened that weekend that made it so interesting, and how can we recapture that every weekend so that every weekend, you know, we put on a good show and something that excites the media and the fans and the sponsors and all the other stakeholders.
All right, Mark, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll distill F1 or Liberty Media's broader strategy for the sport down to the Asian context. Again, today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Mark Gallagher, CEO of Performance Insights, and he has held leadership roles in Formula One for over 30 years and former boss at Cosworth Engines. This is The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Mark Gallagher, CEO of Performance Insights. Now, Mark is an F1 analyst and has held leadership roles in Formula One for over 30 years. Now, Mark, we know that here in Malaysia, we stopped hosting F1 races this year, and that ended a run of nearly 20 years. Is that indicative of a global trend, you think?
No, it's not indicative of a global trend. We've seen, we see countries renew contracts all the time. We sometimes do see races disappear. In fact, we lost the French Grand Prix, which was quite a big shock, about a decade ago, and it returned this year. So we have seen countries drop away before, and it quite often happens in the natural cycle of business. You know, countries decide they want to spend money on other things, etc. So the reality is that in terms of sheer numbers of races, we have the most we've ever had. We have 21 Grand Prix this year. We've got 21 next year. Vietnam is going to have a Grand Prix here in Asia. The Vietnamese have been negotiating that over the last couple of years. And so really, the numbers of countries that want to stage Formula One hasn't diminished. It's just shifted from one territory to another. But there's no question that the loss of the Malaysian race was a huge disappointment to Formula One, to people personally, as well as to the business. And, you know, everyone knows the Sepang track is an absolutely superb facility. And the reality is that we, you know, I think everyone in Formula One would hope that we will be back here in Malaysia again soon. But perhaps we will be back here in Malaysia in a different way than it was done before, because I think most people agree that never quite gained the popularity with the local population, with the fans here, that perhaps we hoped in Formula One. So, we would like to see it come back, but in a way where it generates a lot more interest.
Well, not just generate a lot more interest, Mark, but also hopefully generate a lot more income, because the rationale for moving Malaysia out of the calendar was because it just did not make economic sense, right? So at the end of the day, how do you balance, you know, passion and fans' interest versus hard, cold cash?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting debate. So I'm going to say something slightly controversial now. The economic value of having a Formula One race can can almost be whatever you want it to be, because it's up to a government, it's up to a country to decide what is the value of having the race. If you simply look at the number of hotel rooms sold, the number of airline tickets purchased, the number of cars rented, the number of restaurants booked, that's going to give you one figure. If you then look at the fact that the country's name and the venue and the city is on the back page of sports papers and on the front page of websites all over the world for the week of the race, what value do you put on that? And there are lots of ways of cutting that in terms of deriving value. So what I find very interesting is when countries want to have Formula One, they have no problem justifying it. When they don't want to have Formula One, they can also put an argument and say, it's too expensive. So my own view is that, and, let's take a step back just from that question. I went to every single Malaysian Formula One race from 1999 until 2017. I saw empty grandstands. I saw the fact that so many of the people coming were actually not Malaysian fans. They were overseas fans who had either flown in for the race or maybe expat workers in financial services or other industries here in KL or in the region. And it really bothered us, the fact that the local population couldn't afford to come or weren't interested to come, or a combination of the two. And that's the kind of thing that I feel needs really earnest attention, going forward. We have many races where we go where we have a full capacity, and not just in Britain or somewhere like that. United States, for example, Formula One is a very minor sport. It's a niche sport in the United States, but the race has a capacity crowd because all the U.S. fans who are interested, they go, and then of course a lot of people fly in from around the world. So I think there's a lot of work to be done if Formula One comes back to Malaysia. Personally, I think it will happen one day, but there are a few things that need to be done to make it work properly next time around in terms of engaging with fans and also recognizing the fact that Malaysia has played a significant part in Formula One over the last 20 years. If you think about the Grand Prix, if you think about the fact that we've had a Malaysian driver, Alex Jung, we've had a Malaysian team, Tony Fernandez's team, unfortunately, didn't succeed. But there's been a lot of involvement, and of course, Petronas and their involvement with the Mercedes team. So I think the Malaysia chapter of Formula One is not yet finished. It'll come back again, but it'll have to come back differently because clearly, for a number of reasons, it didn't quite work in the way that everyone hoped previously.
Well, I wonder what taxpayers have to say about that. But, what's your read on Liberty Media's growth strategy then? Because, is it more inward-looking, as in looking at domestic stakeholders and how it'll benefit them? Or is it more outward-looking, as you mentioned, projecting that particular host country onto the world map? Because some of the criticisms of the existing calendar for the race in Sochi, Russia, for Azerbaijan and Vietnam as well in the near future, these countries may not necessarily have the kind of racing legacy or the kind of buy-in from domestic stakeholders, right? So is it purely, again, just for commercial reasons and purely for the government to portray themselves to an outward audience?
Well, I think, so the simple answer to that question is that all governments around the world view sport as an important ingredient in the makeup of their annual promotion. And of course, some countries bid for the Olympic Games or the Football World Cup, and we know for pretty good reasons that most countries can't afford to have them because they're just too expensive. So the great thing with Formula One is that any country that bids for it, or not bids for it, we don't have a bidding process. You can simply decide you want to have a Formula One race, and we will try and negotiate a deal with you. So the reality is that Formula One has a greater flexibility. We have this huge global audience. I mean, you're right, the audience figures in some countries are down, but last year we had an average of 350 million people per race watching Formula One. That's a great lot of eyeballs around the world watching each event. So there's still a lot of interest in Formula One around the world, and it still represents a very large sport. I think the reality is that you're completely right. Countries like Azerbaijan, countries like Russia, probably Vietnam as well, they're looking at the external audience that Formula One will attract into their country. The fact that you know, tourists will be more likely to come. They're promoting it as a business destination as well. They're promoting it as a venue for other events. So there's a whole bunch of economic factors which I think governments take into account when they attract Formula One to their country. And then, of course, it is up to Liberty to make sure that the races are then very successful. And I think, you know, I can't emphasize enough over the last 18 months how much progress they've made in being much more proactive about promoting the sport and driving value. So, for example, when the Vietnamese were interested in having Formula One, Liberty put together a program where, you know, they brought some cars to Hanoi, they did some demonstration runs, they put together a big promotion. It had a fantastic effect. I spoke to some of the drivers who went to that, and they said they couldn't believe the reception that they got. So Liberty are clearly recognizing they cannot sit on their hands and expect the sport to sell itself, and they can't expect governments to do all the running for it. They have to actually make the sport work hard for its dollars and to drive value. And I'll make one final point to you, which I think is a really important point that I go back to. You mentioned taxpayers' dollars. The objective of Formula One is not to take taxpayers' dollars. The objective of Formula One is to work with local promoters, sponsors, and commercial organizations to generate revenue from private enterprise principally. And if you look, for example, at the British Grand Prix in the UK, which has gone through a lot of difficult times in recent years financially, it is all privately funded, and there's no taxpayer dollars go into that event. And that model can be replicated around the world. But to do so, Liberty need to get the public interest. If you have got 150,000 people turning up to the race, all of a sudden you don't need those taxpayers' dollars to subsidize the event.
Mike, bring us full circle here. Earlier at the start of the interview, you mentioned the F1 eSports. That's where young people can engage with the virtual version of Formula One. And that's in stark contrast to what Bernie Ecclestone infamously said back in 2014, whereby the sport does not need young audiences. What is your hope? What is your ideal scenario for the success, the continued success of Formula One?
My real hope is that in a world where young people maybe don't drive cars, anything like they used to, where we have a lot more public transportation infrastructure projects, I want people, I really hope that future generations can enjoy the spectacle of manually driven pieces of technology which are extraordinary in terms of performance, that it'll be something that'll really turn people on, that they will really find it fascinating. I think in a world of self-driving autonomous cars in 20 years' time, I think Formula One will be quite a unique spectacle for people to watch. And I think the great thing about the gaming initiative that Liberty launched in 2017 with the eSports program is that we are now on a big learning curve of finding out what it is that young people really enjoy. And what they really enjoy is not watching a sport on television. What they really enjoy is engaging with the sport at every level and maybe even having the chance to compete in it, even if that's on a virtual basis. So we're on a big learning curve at the moment. I'm very excited for the future of the sport as a result, because I think, unlike a lot of sports, Formula One's technology, its kind of data-driven approach to the sport of Formula One actually is a great sport for the 21st century. And we just need to use the assets that we've got better and make it into a greater spectacle.
Mike, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. I've been speaking to Mark Gallagher, CEO of Performance Insights and a featured speaker on the London Speaker Bureau Asia. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is The Breakfast Grill right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.